Shalom to everybody. And as was said, we have a very interesting topic today. A lot of times when Rav Kook and others speak about the importance of living in Eretz Yisrael, very often they talk about the mitzvah of living here and the national aspect of living here, that the future of Am Yisrael is here. Some stress the kibbutz galiot, to be part of the ingathering of the exiles, the final chapter in Jewish history. Others stress the idea of altruism, that in Eretz Yisrael, when a person does the Israeli army or girls do Sherut Leumi, then it's a very altruistic way of living. Also, mitzvot ben adam lechavero, where every person that you meet in the street, you're obligated in all the mitzvot. Living in Eretz Yisrael is a very clear declaration of priorities, right? I think just like when you go and you see a group of 50 people who donated their kidneys altruistically, and that is a very impressive group, so too if you meet Anglos especially, who made Aliyah out of ideals, and just like Jay Shapiro wrote in one of his books, which I read many, many years ago, there are a lot of reasons, idealistic reasons, Torah reasons, Jewish reasons, for making Aliyah. And I can't think of a more life-changing decision than that. What we're going to discuss today is Davka, a question that often yeshiva boys ask, saying, if I'm learning Torah full-time, what's the difference if I do it in Lakewood, or if I do it in Yerushalayim, or in Beit Shemesh, or in Eretz Yisrael? And Rav Kook deals with this issue very, very directly. And without further ado, let's see the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. This is Perek Hey, Piska Aleph. We're beginning a new chapter of Einaya. And here we'll go into the share screen. I hope we can get into the share screen. Where is it? Here we go. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Shehakol Nehiyah Bidvaro. This should be read Ramban, not Rambam. Okay. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, it sounds like a pretty innocent Gemara, talking about a halacha question regarding the laws of Shabbat. And Rav Kook, we'll see what he does with this. The Gemara says, Kisalik Rabbi Zera, when Rabbi Zera came on Aliyah to the land of Israel, Ashkechel Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet, he met Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet, one of the Amoraim in the land of Israel, Diyati v'kamarle mishmed Rabbi Yochanan, who is sitting and teaching in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, who is the ultimate of the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael, the central Amora in the Talmud Yerushalmi, and he was teaching in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, notnim birdat al gabe chamor b'shabbat. You are allowed to put a blanket on top of a donkey on Shabbat. Now, why might you think that it's not allowed? There are many things that you're not allowed to wear or to put on an animal because you might, especially where there's no Eruv, because you might take it off or it might fall off and you will walk with it for Amot in Rishut Arabim. Many people, maybe most people, the participants are used to having an Eruv, but most of the participants here also remember when we lived in cities where there was no Eruv, and it really changes Shabbat to a large extent. You can't go out with babies, it's carriages, etc., etc. So Rabbi Yochanan said that you are allowed to put a blanket on a chamor on Shabbat. Why? So the Gemara goes on to say, it's Tsar Balei Chaim, because the donkey, even a donkey, gets cold. As a matter of fact, the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat tells us that a donkey can get cold even in the summer, even in the hot month of Tammuz. And we have mercy even on a donkey. And that is why the rabbis say, in this situation, They were not gozer. They were not decreed that maybe it'll fall off and you might carry it. No. You're allowed to put a blanket on a donkey even if there's no eruv on Shabbat. Amarle, Rabbi Zera said to the person who we heard in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Yasher, Yasher Koach. That is a famous bracha that we often give to people when they get an aliyah to the Torah. And as we'll see, surprisingly, the Gemara, according to Rav Kook, is going to say here that you should only say Yasher Koach to somebody who is living in the land of Israel. Why? That's a pretty big chidush. Well, you'll see. Continues the Gemara. V'chein tirgama aryuch bebavel. Rabbi Zera, first he says, Yasher Koach to Rabbi Yochanan, who allows putting the blanket on the donkey on Shabbat. And he says, and that is how Shmuel, Aryuch, that's Shmuel's nickname, that is how Shmuel taught in Bavel. Now, it's interesting. It doesn't say that's what Shmuel said in Bavel, or that's what he taught in Bavel. It says Tirgama, which literally means he translated. Shmuel translated that in Bavel. Now, we know that Roshei Yeshivot used to teach, and they would have one of the students translate for them as if it were, even if they're speaking the same language, but it would be like a loudspeaker. If the rabbi, the Rosh Hashiva, is old and it's hard for him to raise his voice. So that was also called a translator. But it's interesting, Rav Kook is going to deal with why does Rabbi Zera only say Yashar Koach to Rabbi Yochanan? And then he adds, and so translated Shmuel for us in Babylon. Why doesn't he say Yashar Koach to Shmuel in Babylon? And why is that called a translation? Continues the Gemara, Aryuch Manu, who is Aryuch? And says the Gemara, Shmuel. Interesting, Rashi says Aryuch is from the word shofet. He is a judge, he is a leader. And Rashi adds from the word Reich. Now, I don't speak German or Yiddish, but I know what the Third Reich is. Reich is a royalty. And so that's how Rashi explains why Shmuel was one of the leading rabbis. He is called Aryuch, a leader, a judge. As the Gemara, Vaha Rav Nami Amra, why does Rabbi Zera make such a big deal that Shmuel also allowed to put a blanket on a donkey on Shabbat? Hare Rav also allows it. Answers the Gemara, Elishame Dahavi Mesayimbe Ve'en Tolin Tarsikal B'Shabbat. The reason why he praises Shmuel, hey, that's what I heard in the name of Shmuel, and he doesn't say, hey, that's what I heard in the name of Rav, is because Rav also allows to put a food basket around the mouth of a donkey on Shabbat, and even when there's no Eruv. And Rav says that just like we worry about Tsar Balei Chaim, we don't want to pain the animal if he's cold, so we're allowed to put a blanket on him on Shabbat, even if there's no Eruv. Rav says if the donkey is hungry, then we are allowed to put some kind of muzzle or basket by his mouth. And Rav also says that's also Tsar Balei Chaim. Shmuel allows putting a blanket, but he doesn't allow putting this basket on the mouth. And apparently, Rabbi Zera is agreeing with Shmuel that the blanket is allowed, but the basket is not, and not agreeing with Rav, and that's why he says, good for Shmuel, this is what Shmuel also taught in Bavel. For those who are scared that this is going to be a very technical or halachic paragraph, don't worry. That's the end of the halachic discourse. And here at the end, Amarle Yesher. And here, Rabbi Zera says again to Shmuel, to Rabbi Yochanan, or to Rabbi Yamin, who said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Yasher Koach, for teaching us this halacha that you can put a blanket on a donkey on Shabbat. V'chein tirgama aryuch bebavel. And comes Rabbi Zera, and he says again, and this is how Shmuel also translated for us in Bavel. Now, apparently, the Gemara, or Rebbe Zera, likes this phrase, Yashar Koach to Rebbe Yochanan, and that is how Shmuel translated it to us for Bavel. And again, we ask several questions. Question number one, why does the Gemara have to mention that Rebbe Zera made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael? Are Rav, who's also mentioned in the Gemara, he also made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, and it doesn't mention it. Rebbe Zera, it does mention. And for those who've been learning with us, this should ring a bell in Masechet Shabbat, that we saw Rebbe Zera in his attempt to make Aliyah against the wishes of his Rebbe, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Kook is going to connect beautifully the two sugyot. Question number two is, what does it mean, Yesher? Yesher literally means you are straight, and Yesher Koach means your strength is straight, or should be straight. And what is that bracha? And why does Rebbe Zera not use that bracha towards Shmuel? He just uses it towards Rebbe Yochanan. And also, why does Rebbe Zera have to mention twice that Shmuel translated this, and that's another question, why does it say translate, why does it just say taught this in Bavel? Why is it so significant that he taught this in Bavel? Say he taught it in Eretz Yisrael. What's the difference? And so question number four is about the Targumei. Why does it say he translated it? Shmuel translated it in Bavel. And question number five, as we said before, why is Yesher Koach reserved just for Rabbi Yochanan and not for Shmuel? Okay, those are the five questions. I can't promise that I'll remember to review them at the end, but Rav Kook will answer all of them, and if somebody can remind me to answer all the questions, I will greatly appreciate it. But Rav Kook speaks for himself. Kishashira shela kedusha apnimit chaya balev. Rav Kook starts out very poetically, that when the song of holiness, the internal song of holiness, is alive in our heart, he mitromemet tamid lachsof bechol mishpat prati et atzad hamikori shebekirbo. The heart and the song elevates us all the time to want to and to attempt to reveal the source of that song of holiness in its source. Mifata tchuna haruchanit vamusarit hanovat mimkei Torah vedat Hashem udrachav, because of the tchuna, the trait of spirituality and idealism and morality, which stems from the depths of the Torah, that is why we want to know the original halacha. And that's why the Gemara breaks its head back and forth in question and answer, slugging each other up. And so do the Rishonim, and so do the Achronim, and so do Poskim, until our very generation, in order to get to the original true halacha. Al kein, hu mitlabesh tamid oz shir umilitza, gam biyoto asuk bidvarim anir'im chatuchim v'yeveshim. Here Rav Kook is beautifully explaining why throughout the four volumes of Ve'in Ayah that we are studying, why very often Rav Kook is going to look and find and teach moral, idealistic, hashkafic, philosophical ideas hidden in between the lines of a very innocent and even dry-sounding Gemara. And I have to remember, when I start a course in Ein Ayah, to really mention this paragraph, because Rav Kook here is explaining his shita, his approach, that even in halachic sugyot, even when learning the halachic parts of the Gemara, there is a lot of philosophy and important ideology aside from the laws of Hilchot Shabbat that we're learning. Okay, so this is an introduction. Paragraph Bet. V'ahevdel shebein ha-hakara ha-elyona hazot gadol ma'od ben matzav le-matzav b'chayei ha-adam. Regarding the recognition of the deeper ideas of halacha that are hiding in between the lines, even of an apparently dry Gemara, it all depends, to it depends to a large extent on changing on the various factors in a person's life. Where he is at affects his and my and everyone's spirituality. Ve'hayoter gadol mikol hevdelim, and maybe I should have highlighted this because this is a pretty big punchline. Rav Kook says that the biggest difference in spirituality regarding two different people, gadol ma'od be'matzav le'matzav b'chaye, I'm sorry, I skipped. I'm sorry. V'avdel shebein akra yonodim v'avdelim. I lost it again. Here we go. V'yoter gadol mikol hevdelim. This is what I wanted to put in bold. The biggest difference from all of the changes that change within a person's life regarding the spirituality, hu bein ha'matzav shel ha'nefesh ha'yisraelit b'shashu ra'ui sharui al admat nechar, is the difference between somebody who is on the foreign land, foreign soil, living outside of the land of Israel, she'az af im yeh marom v'na'ala ma'od, even if a person is very lofty and very spiritual, if he is living in the land of Bavel or America or Gateshead or wherever he is, mikol makom lefi midato ulefi erko yirulo hashkafot apnimiyot shem erkei haTorah haPnimiim shehim avot likatzev hilchot halachot rabot ke'en tzel shel inyan. If a person is learning Torah, and it could be the greatest yeshiva, even in Bavel, which was the Torah center at the time, or Velazhen in its time, or today, all the yeshivot in America, Rav Kook says it is just a shadow of the real spirituality of Torah. Kamo sha'uv b'chli lo chay mimkoro. And just like when you draw water from the well, and you bring it out in the chavit, in the pail, it is not like the freshness of the original water in its original place. Kamo davar miturgam misafa el safa. Rav Kook is saying that he's already explaining why is Shmuel's statement outside of the land of Israel, where he's just copying what Rabbi Yochanan said in the land of Israel, it's called, he echoed it. He translated it. Because even the very same sentence, when learned in Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to learned outside of the land of Israel, is significantly different. And as we'll see, Rav Kook is going to stress there are five major points. Again, for those who joined us late, this is in addition to all of the other points about the importance of living in Eretz Yisrael that we always talk about, Rav Kook always talks about. Here, Rav Kook is focusing on the issue of learning Torah in Israel, that itself is much different than learning those very same ideas in the land, in Chutz Laretz. She'en lo oto ha'oz v'achayim sh'amakor atzmo nosei oto ala. So this is This is the first point.
I'm listening to a share. What's up?
This is the first point. Tzvia, can we put a mute everyone?
Okay.
Oh, then you mute me too. Oh, okay. The first point is that the Torah in Eretz Yisrael is original, as opposed to a Torah in Chutz Laretz, which is called a translation. We all know that when you learn from a translation, it's not the real McCoy. As the saying goes in English, something gets lost in the translation. I actually published an article in Tchumin many years ago, I think it's in volume 17, about the problem of learning from translations. Today, Art Scroll has translated all of the main holy books into English, but as Nechama Leibovich used to say, without learning in the original, it's not the same thing. The translator locks you into one possible explanation, as opposed to the Hebrew, which you open up any given page in the Mikraot Gedolot, and you'll see many, many explanations. Now, what does it mean that the Torah in the land of Israel is not a translation, but it's the original? It's not an echo, but it's the original. So let's look for a second in source number 3, where I brought for you a bunch of sources in Chazal where they talk about the difference between learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laretz. And by the way, Rav Kook, in many different places, in his writings, being that he is a religious Zionist and he talks a lot about Eretz Yisrael, he mentions, I think, all of these Gemarot. The Gemara Masechet Shabbat Daf Mem Aleph that we mentioned before is directly connected with the hero of tonight's class. Rebbe Zeira havi kamishtamit midrav Yehuda debayle ma'isek la'arad Yisrael. And if you remember, we learned together that Rav Yehuda, his Rebbe, was against making Aliyah. He said that you shouldn't make Aliyah until the coming of the Mashiach, or something along the lines of the Satmar Rebbe. And Rebbe Zeira, and Rav Kook gets into the question, why, regarding Zionism, do you not have to listen to your Rebbe? And that we spoke about, and you can find it on the internet. But we see here that the hero of tonight's Gemara tells us that Rebbe Zeira, it's not just that he coincidentally happened to make Aliyah. We see here that his making Aliyah is an essential part of his biography. He stood up against his Rebbe in order to come from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Now, similar, in source number 3, asterisk, that's a sign that I added this later, Rebbe Zeira, the Gemara Baba Metzia, Daf Pehei, Rebbe Zeira, Kisalik La'arad Yisrael, also tells us that when Rebbe Zeira made Aliyah to the land of Israel, Yativ Meya Ta'anita, he sat 100 fast days, Delishtakach Gemara Bavla Mine, in order to forget the Torah that he learned in Babylon. Now, what's so bad about the Torah that he learned in Babylon? Why doesn't the Gemara just say, well, you learned the first level in Bavel, and then he added on a higher level when he came to the land of Israel? Rebbe Zeira is teaching us something also in our Gemara, that the Torah of Eretz Yisrael is significantly, qualitatively higher and more spiritual than even that same line in the Mishnah, that same pasuk, if it is learned outside of the land of Israel. Ki hechi delo nitrede, so that he shouldn't be bogged down with what he learned in Bavel. He wants to start a new page when he makes Aliyah. And by the way, the Kabbalistic books teach about when a person spends his first night in the land of Israel. When he wakes up in the morning, he gets a new neshama, he gets a new Eretz Yisrael soul. And we know that Rav Kook, and I myself have this minhag, he celebrated the day that he made Aliyah as his spiritual birthday. So we see that Rebbe Zeira, the hero of tonight's Gemara, also does the same thing. And even the learning Torah that he learned in Chutz Laretz, he wants to forget it, fasts 100 fasts in order to forget the Torah that he learned in Bavel. Apparently, there is a significant difference. The Gemara Masechet, Source 5, Masechet Psachim, Daf Lamed Dalid, talks about Bavlai Tipshai. Now, notice that we're talking in the Talmud Bavli, so the rabbis in Bavel are saying this about themselves, that they are on a lower level than the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael. Mishum diyatvi ba'ara dechashucha amritun shmatita demachshiku. Because they live in the land of darkness. Anybody who's learned Jeremiah knows that Galut is likened to darkness, and the land of Israel is likened to Or, lights, like Rav Kook's books, Orot. And that is why, the Gemara says, another reason why the Torah in the land of Israel is on a higher level than the Torah in Chutz La'aretz. Source number 6. Chazal tell us in Bereshit Rabbah, on the pasuk v'zaav aretz ahi tov, that the gold in that land is very good, milamed she'ein Torah kitorat Eretz Yisrael. There is no Torah like the Torah of the land of Israel. Ve'lo chochma, there is no wisdom kechochmat Eretz Yisrael. There's no wisdom in Chutz La'aretz like the wisdom in Eretz Yisrael? Now, the obvious question is, what, a person's IQ changes? Right? Another midrash says that Avira d'Eretz Yisrael machkimu machzik, Rav Kook quotes that later on, that the land of Israel makes you stronger and wiser. Now, I don't think that's going to show up in IQ. So why? What is the qualitative difference of that same learning Torah, that same Rebbe, the same Shura, the same Pasuk, when said in Chutz La'aretz and when said in the land of Israel? I'll just remember it at the end, when I made up the source sheet, the Ramban, who everybody knows, he is a super diehard Zionist, the Ramban, in his Chidushim of Milchamot Hashem on Masechet Rosh Hashanah, mentions, guess who? Rebbe Zeira, then in a machloket, we don't have time to get into what is the machloket about, I think it's about Tkiat Shofar, he says, the halacha is like Rebbe Zeira. Why? First of all, Batra, he's a latter-day rabbi. And if there's a former rabbi disagreeing with a latter-day rabbi, we hold like the latter-day rabbis, who are like the midgets on the shoulders of the giants. Not only that, here the Rambam throws a bombshell. Ve'ihu adif, Rebbe Zeira is better. Lemifsa kavate, it's better to paskin. Told halachically like Rebbe Zeira, de avira de eretz Yisrael ach kemetve, because the land of Israel makes a person smarter. Now, I wouldn't have the guts to say this lahalacha, and the only one that I've seen that brings this lahalacha is the Ramban. But the Ramban is the Ramban. And if he says that a posek in the land of Israel who disagrees with a posek in America, by the very fact that he's in the land of Israel, that adds points, as if it were. And if everything else is equal, we should paskin like the rabbi in the land of Israel, because it's a qualitatively higher Torah. And the question is why. So the first point that we saw in Rav Kook is because here, this is the original Torah. And it's not a translation. And maybe we'll talk a little about this a little later on. Let's go on, because we're running out of time and it's a long piska. Let us skip to paragraph Dalid. To Dalid. Vine oznav shom'ot halacha ha-mekatzevet et ha-mishpat ha-emtzai shebein ha-chovot shel ha-tzedek ha-tivi va-tzedek ha-eloki. Rav Kook is saying that our sugya, this machloka between Rav and Shmuel, where we have to weigh, on the one hand, we have the importance of the laws of Shabbos, which are very important, and on the other hand, Tzar Balei Chaim is also, not to hurt animals, is also an ideal. Now, when you have two ideals, that makes the question that much more difficult. Explains Rav Kook beautifully that the machloket Ravu Shmuel is something which davke, it's good that it should be decided in the land of Israel. Because when we have to choose between two ideals, we are like a surgeon with a scalpel. And because we don't want to, as we've said before, we mentioned once here in the Shiur, the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim says, in Yoredeya, I believe it's in the Klalei Psika and Siman Kuf Yud, if I remember correctly, he says that there's almost no chumrah which doesn't bring to a kula regarding something else. In other words, you can't be just say, okay, I'll be machmir, because that same psak very often brings you to a kula regarding something else. And the classic example is Tarat HaMishpacha, on the one hand, and Shalom Bayit on the other hand, but there are so many, many cases of this regarding Hilchot Shabbat and Oneg Shabbat, between Hilchot Yom Tov and Simchat Yom Tov, where if we're Machmir, sometimes the poskim say, well, you shouldn't be Machmir because it takes away from your happiness of Yom Tov, right? If you're not going to have good food, for example. Now, how do you decide between two ideals? So this is exactly part of the advantage of learning in the land of Israel, where the sharpness of the ideals, of the godliness, of the original Torah is clearer, and therefore it's better And that's why, again, you all see where Rav Kook is going. He says, Yasher Koach to Rabbi Yochanan, who's in the land of Israel. But he doesn't say Yasher Koach to Shmuel. And he explains why, because he's in Bavel. He's just echoing the original idea. But these are decisions, spiritual decisions, are better off made in the spiritual land. Now, part of the idea of the spiritual land is, let us skip to paragraph A. Paragraph A, Rav Kook writes as follows. Al ken, lo hura'a limudit levada hi atzricha lavo rak mimakor yum gadol v'rachav yadayim, ki maskana shel oz melech, mimidat malchuta shel torat Hashem tmima, sheba melachim yimlochu v'roznim yochaku tzedek. The idea of the Torah Hashem Tmima, the total Torah, that is also only in the land of Israel. What does it mean, the total Torah? Let's just read one more line. Avalo kechol echizyon amitgale bifnim haneshama al eretz chemda, mekor gei chizyon. Rav Kook quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu 22, that the land of Israel is called the Valley of Vision. There is only prophecy in the land of Israel. Now, you could say, well, if God wants to speak to a prophet, what's the difference if he's on this side of the border or outside the land of Israel on the other side of the border? And here again is another aspect, a second aspect of the extra spirituality of the Torah learnt in Eretz Yisrael, that there's Ruach HaKodesh. There is a godly spirit, Siyata Dishmaya, helping people who are in the land of Israel. The classic example, the Sanhedrin. Why does the Sanhedrin have to be in Yerushalayim, in Lishkata Gazit, in on Har HaBayit, right by the Temple Mount? Well, the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is where he concentrates his Shekhinah, his providence, and we want God's providence to help the Sanhedrin, the Dayanim, when they make their halakh decisions. Now, Yerushalayim, Chazal tell us, is Eretz Yisrael squared, or cubed. It's just a higher level of Eretz Yisrael. And here we also understand that learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael, even if it's not in Yerushalayim, also has that extra spirituality. And again, just like the Ramban, the true lover of Eretz Yisrael, said, he even brings in halacha lemaaseh, that if everything else is equal, then we paskin like the rabbi in Eretz Yisrael. I don't remember if I mentioned it's in the Milchamot Hashem in Rosh Hashanah Dav Zayin Amud Aleph in Dapei Arif. For those who want to see it inside, it blew me away. I almost fainted when I saw this the first time, but it's right there in the Ramban, and you have it on the source sheet. Okay, let us go on to point number three. Let us jump to source number 7. We're going to see now a couple of other places where Rav Kook elaborates on the importance of the Torah and the difference, the higher level of the Torah in the land of Israel. In Orot HaTchiyah, page Peivav, Rav Kook writes as follows. Yenikat Torah sheba'al peh, hi begniza min hashamayim ubegalui me'aretz. The oral law, which is revealed by the rabbis in every generation, it comes down hidden, and here we on the earth have to reveal it. Utzricha Eretz Yisrael liyot benuya, but the land of Israel has to be built. There have to be towers in Tel Aviv, and the Galil, and the Negev, and all the kibbutzim and moshavim, v'chol Yisrael yoshvim alea. And all of Israel, living in the land of Israel, the more Jews there are in the land of Israel, the holier the land is, right? The mitzvot tatluyot ba'aretz, the agricultural mitzvot, and rises to a higher level. As soon as, how much more so, when the most of the Jews are in the land of Israel. Misudarim b'chol sidrehem, sitting according to shvatim, to the tribes. Mikdash u'malchut, when we have the Beit HaMikdash, as we're supposed to have, and the government of Israel, as we're supposed to have, kihuna, and the Kohanim are doing their service, unevua, and prophecy, shoftim v'shotrim v'chol tachsiseyem, we have a Jewish state, and punishments, and everything that goes with it. Only when the Jewish nation is living properly in the Jewish state, in the land of Israel, az chaya hi Torah sheba'al peh. That is when the oral law is really developed. What does it mean the oral law is developed? Why is it connected with having a Jewish state in the land of Israel and a Jewish army? Well, the answer is very clear. Over the last 70 years, there are so many halachic works and articles. I mentioned Tchumin before. There are tens and tens of books on all of the new halachic questions that rise because we now have a Jewish army, because we now have a Jewish state, because we're now living in the land of Israel. In other words, all the rabbis are forced to sit down and develop the oral law because we're in the land of Israel. Rav Kook goes on to say, and the same thing is with her twin, the Torah Shebichtav, the written law. What does it mean, the written law? It's unbelievable today that most of you are familiar with the Da'an Mikra series, that there is a renaissance, this is from Mosada Rav Kook, there is a renaissance in the study of Tanakh. We should mention Nechama Leibovitch, who is the first great teacher of Tanakh in the previous generation, and all of her students. And there is now, why is Tanakh coming to life? Because the book of Yehoshua, a book of conquering the land of Israel and settling the land of Israel, that's what we're doing. I just spoke tonight to a rabbi in one of the Midrashot where I teach, that he told me he's teaching Sefer Melachim. And I said, okay, well, the book of Kings is to teach us what to do in a Jewish state and what not to do in a Jewish state. In other words, the Tanakh is coming to life, also through all the archaeological finds. Also, we know what Beit El looks like and what Yericho looks like and all of the biblical, we know what it all looks like. In addition to the fact that we have a Jewish state with a Jewish army, we can now understand the Tanakh once again. And this is one of the reasons why for 2,000 years, even the greatest rabbis really did not learn Tanakh. In all the yeshivas outside of the land of Israel, Gateshead, Lakewood, very little Tanakh is taught. And one of the reasons is because the Tanakh is for the land of Israel, for the state of Israel. And now we are back. And this is another reason why, a third reason, why the Torah in the land of Israel is on a higher level. Here it's a Torat Chaim. It's a living Torah. It's halacha l'maaseh. You're not talking theoretically about Trumot, Maaserot, or Shemitah. It's, you have to do it. It's practical. Point number four, and again here we're running out of time, so we'll do this orally. Let us jump to source number Rav Kook mentions it in source number 7 about Hadodim Yitachdu. The lovers are uniting once again. Who are the lovers in this paragraph? The oral law, the written law. In other words, the complete Torah. And this is something that Rav Kook writes about in Ma'amar Hador, that he comes out against the learning in yeshivas where they just learn Gemara, which is very important. But what about Tanakh, as we mentioned before? What about Emunah? What about Rambam, Kuzari, Jewish philosophy? What about Musar? What about Chassidut? What about Kabbalah? There are so many different aspects of Torah, which Rav Kook stresses, these are the deepest and the most appealing aspects that are going to bring people back to Torah. Now that we are back in the land of Israel, the time has returned to return to learn the entire Torah. Not just how much I have to pay if my ox gores your cow, but again, Zra'im is only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Kodashim, the laws of the Korbanot. Taharot, the laws of purity. Three of the six darim of Shas only apply in the land of Israel. So this is what Rav Kook means when he talks about Torat Hashem Tmima. In the land of Israel, we have the whole package deal. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda used to say, Eim matai hi meshivat nafesh, kishi tmima. The pasuk continues, that when is the Torah satisfy the soul? When she is complete. We are running out of time, so let us go to source number 8, where Rav Kook in Orot HaTorah, Perek Yud Gimel is all about the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. Kama yit Torat emet v'Torat chayim gam yachad. The Torah in the land of Israel is also the true book, because again, like we said before, it's the original. It doesn't lose something in the translation, and it doesn't lose something when we're living under non-Jewish rule. And also, Torat Chaim, it's a living Torah that we implemented. And all of this can only be in the land of Israel, as we saw before, in the state of Israel. How much more so, Bezrat Hashem, when we also have the Beit HaMikdash. Paragraph 9 is another point, a new point. Kol ma shehu, this from Orot HaTorah, Yud Gimel Gimel. Kol ma shehu shagur biyachas shel Torat Chutz Laretz b'muvan prati, olehu be'erech Torat Eretz Yisrael l'muvan klali. Judaism in Chutz Laretz is a personal religion. This neighbor is Protestant, the other neighbor is Catholic, another neighbor is atheist, or another neighbor is Seventh-day Adventist or Muslim. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. The Tanakh is always addressing the Jewish person living in the Jewish state, in the Jewish land. And here, everything is not an individual issue, but a national issue. And again, there are laws regarding the army. There are laws how to build a state. One of Rav Kook's top students, asked Rav Kook, there's so much Chabad in your writing, the idea of loving of Israel and loving the land of Israel. So what's the difference between Rav Kook and Chabad? Lubavitch. Rav Kook answered very simply and succinctly, Anu holchim livnot uma. We are in the process of building the nation of Israel. A nation with a national basketball team, and a national archaeology, and national museums, and national music, and national television, and national politics, and national agriculture, and everything is national. The Torah here is not a small thing. It is a national issue. It's klali. And the greatest example that we touched on before is the altruism, where a Jew growing up in the land of Israel, part of it is giving 3 years of his life to the Israeli army. And if need be, even giving his life for Am Yisrael on a regular basis. That's how we raise our children in the land of Israel. That altruism is part of the klaliut of the Torah, which, as Rav Kook writes, helps us break out of the self-centeredness that most people have. To summarize, again, there's much more here, but Rav Kook in Source 11, this is such an interesting source that when I had the zchut of publishing it, Rav Tzvi Tal, the Rosh Yeshiva of Har Amor, sent one of his students to ask me to see the original. He said he's got to see the entire letter in its context, because Rav Kook was asked by Rav Aaron Teitelbaum, the head of the Vad Yeshivot in America, who was a cousin of Rav Kook, a relative, and he asked Rav Kook, listen, they just started the Chevron Yeshiva in Chevron. Why don't you, in Merkaz Harav, merge with the Chevron Yeshiva, and that way you can share the funding and the overhead, and just make one big, good, great international universal yeshiva. And Rav Kook in Source 11, this I published in Otsrot HaRehiyah, Volume 6, page 235, Rav Kook says, no. Even the Gemara that they learn in the Haredi Yeshivot, even if they're in the land of Israel, in Hebron, but if they are a Galuti Yeshiva, they teach Gemara differently. They don't learn the Talmud Yerushalmi. They don't learn the broad Torah with all the Mechilta and Sifra and Sifrei. Not to mention that in the Haredi Yeshivot, even if they're in Bnei Brak, even if they're in the land of Israel, but how much more so over there in Lakewood, they don't learn Tanakh. They don't learn Jewish philosophy. Most of them don't even learn Musar. They don't learn Chassidut and Kabbalah on a regular level. They don't learn about the agriculture of Eretz Yisrael and the geography of Eretz Yisrael, nor the history of Eretz Yisrael. These are very yisodi, very basic topics. Not to mention the fact that they don't learn in Hebrew, which is Lashon HaKodesh. In other words, the religious Zionist yeshivot, it's not just a difference that we wear crocheted kippot and the other yeshivot usually wear black kippot. You can wear any kind of kippah wherever you learn. But the type of learning of the Torah in Eretz Yisrael is a qualitatively higher and broader and more original Torah. And again, as we said at the beginning of the class, all this is an addition to the nationalism and the future and kibbutz galuyot and the priorities and the entire life that a person changes when he's living among Jews in a Jewish state. Rav Kook here is adding 5 points that makes even learning the same pasuk or the same gemara in the land of Israel more spiritual and on a higher level. What are the 5 points? Number one, here, it's the original. It's not just a translation. Targumei Shmuel. And Rabbi Zera does not say Yashar Koach to Shmuel. He just says Yashar Koach to those who live in the land of Israel, to Rabbi Yochanan. Number two, in Torah in the land of Israel, there's Siyata Dishmaya, there's Ruach HaKodesh, there's more spirituality and more wisdom, more godly help. Number three, the Torah of the land of Israel is a living Torah, where all of the Torah is applicable and halakha l'maaseh. It's not theoretical anymore. And not just the Tanakh, which is coming back to life, but also the halakha. Point number four is the Torah in the land of Israel is broad and is meant to include all of the Torah, not just Seder Nezikin, which is what's learned in most yeshivos, or Seder Nashim, which is learned in all of the Haredi yeshivot, but also the broad Torah of philosophy and Kabbalah and Hebrew and agriculture, etc. And point number five is that the Torah in the land of Israel is klali, is national-oriented, all-encompassing, as opposed to the prati, self-centered religion that we learn in Galut.